straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio here in East County. And today, my very special guests are Colin Parent and Christine Alessio. They are both attorneys on the La Mesa City Council. Christine is the vice chair of the SANDAG Regional Planning Committee and a member of SANDAG, the San Diego Regional Association of Governments. And Colin is the director of Circulate San Diego. And we're here today to talk about transit in San Diego County. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Miriam. Great to be here.
So, Colin, why don't you start by telling us what the goal or goals of Circulate San Diego are for the region?
Yeah, so Circulate San Diego, we're a nonprofit. We operate region-wide. We are a nonprofit think tank, and we will focus on three main areas, public transit, street safety, and sustainable growth. And so what that oftentimes means for public transit is to encouraging transit agencies and local governments to adopt policies and funding to encourage more frequent transit, faster transit, to make transit a more viable choice for people than just driving.
Right. And of course, that's even more important nowadays against the backdrop of climate change and global warming, where it's so important to reduce those greenhouse gas emissions. Christine, from the SANDAG perspective, tell us a little bit about what SANDAG's vision is for transit for the region.
SANDAG has recently hired a new executive director, and as part of that, SANDAG is revealing its five big moves. And a big part of that is prioritizing transit and getting people a meaningful choice instead of driving their car. And that has been the center of a bit of debate recently since it was first unveiled about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, the new director of SANDAG, I understand, is pushing for high-speed rail. Tell us your thoughts on that, and if you agree with it, disagree with it, and what other options there are.
Just to begin with, I would wish that we would have high-speed rail all over the place. But again, I don't think it's realistic to all parts of the county, and it's very costly. I have mentioned right in the newspaper and at the SANDAG board meeting, we really need to dig down to look at the differences between people who desire to use transit in their mindset. They don't want a car. Their freedom means no car, no car payment, no anything, and the people who are never going to get out of their cars and get on transit, because to them, personally, their car is freedom. So I think it's a balance that's going to have to be struck, and I'm not sure that high-speed rail, in theory, it's fine, but with limited dollars, and I think Colin will speak to this as well, there may be other ways to get people out of their car.
Yeah, and there's also that conflict of areas like, say, Santee, where there's a lot of new development that's gone in, some of it that was largely opposed by many in the community, and it's created gridlock on 52. So there's the issue of what do you do about the gridlock that you already have on the freeways in areas where it may or may not be affordable or feasible to get, say, a new transit line or a high-speed rail line or something out there. So there's a lot of conflicting information issues that have to be worked out. Now, I understand there's kind of three major initiatives that are coming up or in progress. Let's talk a little bit about that, Colin.
Yeah, so as I've been thinking about it, there's really three major questions that are happening in the region right now. So one is that SANDAG, with our new executive director, is talking about doing an update to the region's plan, the transportation plan, mm-hmm. and he's been talking about prioritizing transit in that. And I think in the broader sense, like, I think that's really great. I've been advocating for a greater focus on transit for some time, and so, you know, we can quibble about whether or not he's, you know, prioritizing the right kinds of transit, but prioritizing transit is definitely a good thing. The second big piece that's happening is that we have already a half-cent sales tax measure called Transnet that is designed to pay for some transit improvements, some highway improvements, among others. And there's been a discussion or a proposal to take some of the money that's programmed for highways and to reallocate them for transit.
Right. I think that's the part where some of the folks out in East County heard about it and got a little bit up in arms, so to speak, or worried that it might mean long-promised improvements, for instance, to Highway 52. might not happen. And transit sounds great, but what about them?
Sure, yeah. And so you have heard a lot of that pushback from some of the elected officials in East County and North County. What they haven't been saying, though, which is, I think is being left out of this conversation, is that Transnet has less money than they originally assumed that
so,
it would.
So there's not enough to really even build all the freeway projects that they promised or all of the mass transit projects that they promised.
That's right. And so when you have these mayors who are railing against the new Sandag executive director saying, oh, you have to keep the promises to the voters and not amend Transnet, the reality is that there's no mathematical way to build all of the highways with the limited dollars that are left in Transnet. So they can oppose amending Transnet to take the remaining highway dollars and moving them to transit. And that, you know, that would protect some of the highway money and would allow more of those highways to be built. But it's not on the table to build all of the highways that were in Transnet. There just isn't the money. So that's kind of, you know, it's not a surprise. Elected politicians are saying things that don't always make a ton of sense, right?
It's just the world we live in. Right.
But anyway, so that's the second thing. And then the third issue, this sort of happening in parallel to these other two, is that MTS, the Metropolitan Transit System, the transit system that serves San Diego, East County, and South County, is looking at doing a ballot measure to fund mostly transit expansions in our service area. And so those things are all happening together.
Yeah. Now, the question would be, how much would be that Transnet increase they'd be looking for the next time around? And how are they going to make sure that whatever is promised this time is something they actually can deliver? Because, you know, it's hard to keep going back to voters and saying, do this, and then have the rug pulled out and say, oh, but that project you thought you were going to get, you're not going to have. And we don't just see this in transit, of course. We saw it, say, out in Alpine, where voters thought they were voting for a new high school twice on ballot measures, and it, you know, the bond measures and the money got spent on other things. So how would you lay out a proposed increase in the Transnet tax that would be equitable for all parts of the county?
From my standpoint, I think Sandag is floating a 1 cent sales tax increase. And I think to make it as equitable for multiple parts of the county, you have to recognize how the people live, how they are most likely to live. And it may take, you may have to add a managed lane, add a lane to the Highway 52. You definitely are going to have to widen the 67. That's a safety issue. That's a no-brainer. We can't have Paradise, California happen in Ramona. You may need to put some investment into the 94, but you also need to invest in transit where people are apt to use it and want to use it. So in the perfect world, you would have a blend of things and effective. And the goal, the overriding goal, is GHG reductions. We have to make sure the transit we're putting in, people use to achieve those goals. And I'm sure Colin has some other thoughts on it as well.
Yeah, so just to clarify, you know, in the immediate term, Sandag is not proposing a new tax measure to put more money into Transnet. Their plan contemplates new revenue that Sandag may generate, but they're not looking at anything earlier than 2022, probably not anything earlier than 2024. And I actually am doubtful that they're going to put something on the ballot really in the next decade, because it's unlikely that the North County is going to have an appetite for sales tax for transportation, given their performance on a similar ballot measure in 2016. So, so what is happening in the more immediate term is that MTS is looking at doing their own ballot measure that would fund transit, active transportation, potentially safe routes to school programs. Those things could fund certain projects that are in Sandag's plans, but that's a sort of a separate question. And their MTS is only looking at a 0.5 cent sales tax measure.
Very interesting. And out of curiosity, since we are the East County Magazine show, what would some of the MTS ballot stuff be that might benefit any portions of East County?
So all that's up in the air right now. And so for your listeners, you can Google, I think it's Elevate 2020, which is the MTS campaign site.
Elevate 2020.
You can provide some input, and you can find out where you can go to community events to provide input about the kind of projects you'd like to see. But some of the things that MTS has been discussing are increased frequencies to the existing trolley lines.
Nice.
Building additional expansions to the trolley lines.
Yeah, you mentioned maybe as frequent as 7 minutes, so the average person would only be waiting 3.5 minutes to catch a trolley once you get there. And that's certainly a lot faster than now.
Yeah, that's right. Right now, if the average trolley service in East County is at 15 minutes intervals, and so if you cut that down to 7-minute intervals, your total trip is much less because you're waiting less, and it just is more convenient and pleasant to ride. And also, by the way, what's great about increasing frequencies is it's the cheapest way to improve transit.
So very interesting.
Building a new trolley is actually really, really expensive, and there's probably good reason to do that in some circumstances, but the cheap, easy things are also important to do, and increasing service is one of them. Let me just add one other thing. Well, the other thing that MTS is actively looking at doing in their measure is connecting the trolley to the airport. And that is something that I think makes a lot of sense to a lot of people.
Yeah, it's amazing that they haven't done that yet. What about bus service?
Yeah, MTS is actively looking at that. That's almost certainly going to be a part of a measure. And a bus, actually, if it has high frequencies, if it has dedicated right-of-way, mm-hmm. it can get as many people just as fast as a trolley for a fraction of the price.
Right. I think a lot of people would like to ride the trolley, but if they don't live within walking distance of it, then what, you know? Or if they don't have a car and they're not within walking distance, then. Now, there's also a regional transportation plan that SANDAG is wrestling with right now. Christine, can you give us an update on that?
SANDAG could not put together a regional transportation plan that would meet state guidelines for GHG reductions. So they went to the state. They said, please, can we have extra time? We had to have an assembly bill that would allow that. And so now they're in the process of making their new plan. I expect it to be unveiled sometime in November to the SANDAG board. Mm-hmm. It does prioritize transit, but primarily in the way a brand new high-speed projects such as linking Poway to Sorrento Valley and down. And so I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done on it because I'm not sure that they are going to get the best bang for their buck. And I do think that you are going to have in there some highway projects. In La Mesa specifically, I mean, we've been promised the 94-125 interchange for 30 years. And they're telling us, we can't build it. We have no money. Well, that, going back to the Transnet, that is the kind of thing that really turns voters off. And I know, like, the Grossmont Mount Helix Improvement Association is starting to come to SANDAG meetings. The Casa de Oro Business Alliance is coming to SANDAG meetings. Mm-hmm. And so the new plan and that's the existing plan, but the new plan is also going to need to take into consideration the needs of less dense communities that by virtue of just the fact there isn't the density to have effective transit, they're going to need something for roads or highways or money. But my biggest concern with the SANDAG plan is how are you going to pay for all this and is it an effective use of money?
Right, because every taxpayer in the county would be paying for it. And so, again, it's that equity thing of if you're going to ask a taxpayer to pay for a tax increase, what's in it, you know, for that taxpayer? Or are they supposed to be doing it, you know, altruistically because it's reducing greenhouse gases, but by making things better for folks in Poway or Sorrento Mesa? But if you're in Alpine or El Cajon, you know, maybe there's not as much. So it's an interesting thing. But on the other hand, there's not enough money to do everything, as Colin has noted. So it's a difficult dilemma, I think, that these folks are in.
And I think what makes it more difficult is Transnet, the approved plan in 2004, is functionally, as Colin noted earlier, out of money. So to build anything, whether it's a road, a highway, a new trolley line, at some point it's going to take some more money from somewhere. And I know MTS is now taking it on itself, and I give them credit to do that. I mean, they're proposing something separate from SANDAG.
Yeah, I wonder what it's going to look like, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the road as we're seeing a younger generation that's perhaps less dependent on automobiles than the older generation. We see them out there, some of them not having cars at all. If they want to go to somewhere they can't get to by transit, they're Ubering or taking Lyft or hopping on an electric scooter or something. So it is kind of a different landscape in the future.
So one thing I want to suggest about the way to look at these transportation plans, what SANDAG's doing, what other advocates have been talking about, is to really focus on what's going to happen 40 years from now. But I think that misses some of the opportunities that we can make improvements in the immediate term. So SANDAG, in very broad strokes of what their plan will look like, it has these big, you know, region-wide rail network. And, like, you know, 50 years from now, that'd be great. But one of the things that I'd like to see is what are we going to do to improve things in a more immediate term with more immediately available resources?
I would be remiss not to ask about safety and fire evacuation issues, which I think is important to consider when we're thinking about things like transit and where we put new housing. I'm thinking specifically about Ramona and the Highway 94 corridor down to Jamul, which the state, CAL FIRE, has identified as two of the most dangerous evacuation routes for fire in the state. I don't know if you realized, but Paradise, California was considered to be in the worst 5% for that. The Highway 94 corridor to Jamul is in the worst 1%. It's worse than Paradise. Paradise had 6 evacuation routes, but they just didn't get the word out. Jamul has 2, maybe, if it's not blocked by a fire. So do you have any ideas for trying to make things safer from an evacuation route for the people who already live down there? And what are your thoughts about the proposal before the county right now that would put 1,200 new homes and 4,000 new people in a housing development in what's already among the most dangerous evacuation areas in the state?
So I'm not intimately familiar with the particular proposals that are happening in the backcountry areas for the mm-hmm. county, but I think as a...
Yeah, I should add, this would what currently before them that they'll be, I think, voting on in late June is a general plan amendment that would make it easier to build these big housing developments. This is the first one coming before the county is the one in the Proctor Valley, Jamul, Otay area.
Okay, but I think as a general matter, we should be really skeptical about trying to put more and more people farther and farther away from places they want to go, right? And so, sure, that there can be a fire danger on that, but it's also something that can create additional traffic, something that can create additional greenhouse gas emissions, that we should be focusing our new development near transit, near where people work, and that's very much in conflict with these ideas about building farther and farther afield.
Yeah.
And if you were to limit building in these rural areas and increase widen the road, but no more people would be on it because your building was limited, you would solve a lot of your evacuation problems. But clearly these have to be addressed. We have wildfires that seem to be burning every couple of years now, dramatic wildfires. And we cannot forget that a percentage of our population needs to be evacuated. But I agree, infill areas, to promote the development in a smart growth pattern, which they're supposed to be doing, leaving the open areas open. I cannot agree more with that idea.
Okay. I'd like to ask each of you, if you could wave your magic wand, let's start with you, Colin. You could wave your magic wand and you're in charge of creating the ideal transportation plan for our region within what we might consider the most realistic, financial scenario as well. What would your plan be?
Yeah, so my plan would be pretty simple. And this is, I think, very, very much in line with what MTS is actively talking about right now. And that's really prioritizing improved frequency and service where there's an existing demand. And so, for example, we have this trolley network that it's very iconic. It's a big part of San Diego. Most of those lines run only every 15 minutes. They should run every 7 minutes, right? And you could do that with a relatively modest amount of expenses. We also have some bus lines are like not very well ridden, but some of them are ridden really well and they have really great ridership. Mm-hmm. We should be increasing service and frequency and speed for those. And that it costs money. And like in both of these circumstances, what it costs is you have to buy more buses, but the biggest cost is you have to pay more drivers to drive around.
Yeah.
So it's not free, but it's way cheaper than building new
high-speed rail lines. Yeah,
absolutely. It's even cheaper than building light rail lines like the trolley, which can be pretty expensive too. So that's the first thing that I would do. That would be the most cost-effective thing. Those are also things you could do like right away, right? You wouldn't have to like permit it and do a bunch of environmental analyses and do hire a bunch of consultants. You could just literally just pay more people and do it right away.
Yeah.
And then the second thing that I would do is I would identify some job centers that are not adequately served by transit, and I would create some new transit lines to serve them. And so I think the obvious cases for those would be Kearny Mesa, which is a major jobs hub, and then also the Sereno Valley area. But those areas are challenged by traffic, and if we could allow more people to get there without having to drive an individual car, that would improve their lives and it would improve the environment.
Okay. Christine, what would your ideal plan include?
My ideal plan would include the necessary highway improvements that, like the 125-94. I mean, getting that done. And then it would include elements of Colin's plan, which is frequency. You must recognize the differing lifestyles of this great giant county and what they are looking for. And I know lots of people who don't take the public transportation because it's too slow. And as Colin says, you can cheaply and easily more cost effective, increase it, make it better. And we also need to really tie this all into our home building and growth patterns. You can widen the freeways as many times as you want, and it will always be gridlock if you keep building near them. And back to your earlier question, if you don't build that way and you build near the job centers, you increase density in dense areas that are high transit things, you will have your housing problem taken care of. You will have people who want to ride the transit accessing it quickly and easily. And then the other parts of the county that are not going to be suited for that are given their preferred mode, taking their car. But I think tying it to land use is imperative.
Yeah, and that also helps to preserve those open spaces, the habitat areas that are so negatively impacted when you do go in and build these big sprawl developments that, you know, divide up habitat, threaten some of the endangered species. So there's a lot of benefits, certainly, to the denser development in the populated areas, I think, as well.
And I think both Colin and I are not anti-development, but we are definitely pro-development in the right places.
Yeah, we should. And I think, let me just add to that, if I may. I mean, I think it is true that that kind of sprawl development can be attractive for people who are concerned about affordability. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, if you're starting a family, you know, a lot of the reason that people are moving to Santee is that you can buy a house and start a family with a yard.
They want the backyard. They may not want the high-rise condo if you're raising a family.
Yeah. And so if we're concerned about that more sprawl development, we also have to be willing to embrace the kind of good development that is infill, that is near jobs, that is near transit. And so we really do have to go hand in hand. It's really easy for elected officials to say, oh, that kind of development over there is bad. I would like it somewhere else, but I can't really specify where.
That's not my backyard.
That's not an adequate solution to the problem. So I'm a big believer that we need to be increasing housing supply, and we have to be willing to say yes to good projects.
Especially affordable. There's certainly an affordability crisis right now in housing as well. So it's another one of those conflicting goals. Everybody wants their open space. Nobody wants more traffic. But we also want our kids to have a place they can afford to live.
Yeah. And so that means we're going to have to be able to say yes to new infill projects near transit.
And adding to that, our population is aging as a whole. And single family residences that the people want to raise their kids in, I think will probably come on the market without sprawl development, as I don't want to take care of my yard in 20 years.
Yeah, the baby boomers are all.
The baby boomers are aging. And so it will become attractive to people who can no longer drive, who don't want to take care of a big yard. And those are the kind of projects that we really need to start building.
We're certainly seeing some movement in that direction already with things like granny flats, where people can now build not just for grandmas anymore, but a unit on your property that could be a rental for someone that needs a little extra income. And that might be housing that a student could live in, or a grown child, or a senior citizen.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And Christine and I actually co-authored legislation at our city council to allow for more of that kind of development. And that's exactly the right kind of approach, where you're not talking about building in a place where there isn't already building. There's already infrastructure and resources there. And it's a very gentle way to increase housing supply where there already is some. But I'll tell you, you know, we got a lot of pushback from people who really didn't want to see any new homes in their own neighborhoods.
Parking is an issue, I guess, potentially.
I appreciate the feedback that we get from some of those folks who are concerned. But if we're going to say no to the sprawl development and in the backcountry, we need to be able to say yes somewhere. And so I always tell folks, listen, you know, I mean, I appreciate what they're saying, but we do have a housing crisis, and I'm unwilling to not take some steps to actually try to improve it.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting questions raised. I'm going to give each of you the last word here. Christine, what else would you like our listeners to know about the future of transit in San Diego County that we haven't already touched on?
I think it's very important for the listeners to realize they can be part of this process, whether, as Colin mentioned earlier, Elevate 2020, Sandag's San Diego Forward page. Even if you go to your local council meetings, your local planning group meetings, and you give comment, hey, I'd like to see X, Y, or Z. We want the listeners, the residents of San Diego, the voters, to all be involved in this. And I think often people feel there's a disconnect between the elected officials and what's going on and the agencies, Sandag, MTS. And so please, please, listeners, get involved. Shoot me an email. Shoot Colin an email. Mm-hmm. Go to a Sandag meeting. Go to an MTS meeting. If you can't make those, go to your local city council meeting, whether it's Santee, Vista, San Diego, and let your voices be heard as to what you would like to see or what your visions and ideas are.
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good point. And I know certainly in all my years as a journalist, we've often seen some of the best ideas in government come out of the citizenry, where they may bring something up that the elected officials hadn't really thought about or didn't really realize was a big issue in a community. So it is important to speak out, speak up, and, you know, get on your feet or on the trolley and get down to some of these meetings and let your voices be heard. Colin, I'm going to let you have the final word today. What else would you like our listeners to know on transit?
Yeah, so I think what I'd like people to come away from this conversation with is an understanding that we can actually do some pretty cool things to improve transportation and transit in particular, right? So sometimes when you look at, when you hear these big plans, like a giant high-speed rail network that's going to take 50 years to build, like that's, it's hard to get your head around that. Maybe that's not really going to happen. Maybe you're not going to see the benefit of that in your lifetime. But we're currently right now building a $2 billion trolley extension from downtown all the way to UCSD. That's happening right now. It's an amazing project. Hmm. We could have more of that in our region. We can also see with, as I mentioned earlier, with relatively little money, we can improve the existing transit service so that it's more attractive and faster and more convenient for more people. Those are things that really could happen right now. And so, but what it's going to take is going to take elected officials making the right choices. It's going to take citizens pressuring those elected officials to make those right choices. It's important for people to have their eye on the ball. So sure, yeah, having a big, bold transit vision can be valuable, but let's make sure that that doesn't eclipse the more immediate things that we can get done to improve transportation for everybody.
Yeah, very practical advice, I think. I want to thank both of you for taking the time to join us today. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we have been speaking with La Mesa City Council members Christine Alicio, who's also on Sandag, and Colin Parent, who's also the director of Circulate San Diego, about the future of transit in San Diego County. Thanks to both of you for joining us today on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you.
Thank you.